Matthew chapter 9. Sammy, you want to come up here and sing while I'm preaching? Don't be so scared. Hey, neither can I, but it never stopped me. I don't care what the world is going to do. I don't care what the world is going to do. Can y'all sing that? I don't care what the world is going to do. Come on, you can sing it better than me. I don't care what the world is going to do. Come on, young people, be goofy, sing it. I don't care what the world is going to do. I'm going to stay with my sweet Jesus. I'm going to stay with my sweet Jesus. Amen. I'm going to stay with my sweet Jesus. You know what verse that is? Love not the world, neither the things in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Whoa, that's pretty strong, isn't it? How many of y'all have loved on the world before? Man, it's so good. So much fun and kicks out there, really. How many of y'all know that sin is fun, fun, fun? Fun, fun, fun for a season. It is. People wouldn't do it if it didn't feel good, would they? But the end of it is death. Eternal separation from God. And that's what we're about. We're about as a church to take the good news out of here. This is supposed to be a learning time, a pep rally, a time for you to get excited about Jesus and want everybody you know to be excited about Jesus, you know? But when you take it outside these doors, that's when it becomes life. And praise God, when you bring somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus, that's awesome. How many of y'all grew up in church? Not grew up in church, you know. You weren't born in church, but how many of y'all went to church when you were kids or your family goes to church? Or wow, that's awesome. And I'll tell them when I talk to somebody about that, I said, you know what? Going to church won't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's will make you a cheeseburger. Will not happen. Getting water baptized, if you're not right with Jesus, all you're going to do is come out wet. You're just going to be a wet sinner, a wet person on their way to hell. No, really. I mean, really, religion does not save. You know, religion is hanging around the cross. Religion is getting under a steeple on Sunday morning and, oh, I feel so good because I spent my time with God. What? What's that? If he's my God and he's my Savior and he's my Lord, he's my everything all the time. Amen. Out on the barge with the heathen, he's my God. He's my Savior, right? I'm not saying you're a heathen if you're on a barge, but it's a good chance you are. I'm not saying you're a heathen if you're in a construction. How many of y'all work construction? I've worked construction, man. I was a lineman. Heathen! I was chief of them, too. There was no Christians there at all, brother. Do you know that? None. Until you get saved and start talking about Jesus. Well, I know Jesus. I'm going, well, I never would have known that, you know? You never told me that. You never told me I was going to hell. Because I probably would have copped the attitude. Praise the Lord. Well, where did I say to go? Matthew something? You're probably right. You're right. You're exactly right. Matthew 9, start at verse 35. You know, Easter's coming up quick, isn't it? What? Fat Tuesday is this Tuesday, isn't it? I think so, isn't it? Following Fat Tuesday is Ash Wednesday. What's Fat Tuesday? It's a day when you get all your sinning in real good before you start fasting and being holy, right? I'm giving up broccoli for Lent. Praise the Lord. I'm giving up drinking Drano for Lent, you know? But no, it's good to sacrifice. It's good to fast. That is good stuff. If you do it as unto the Lord and not as unto religion. Does that make sense? No, he loves fasting. Fasting lifestyle will draw you closer to Jesus. And man, I need to do it more. I used to do it a lot more than I do now. So sometimes we need to go back to what made us what we are, you know? So that's a good thing. Oh, by the way, I want to mention something. House of prayer meetings have been going on all last week. It was Monday 2 to 4. Monday 4 to 6 and 7 to 9. It's a 2-hour set of praise and worship back there in the prayer room. And prayer. And you mix worship and prayer. How many of y'all got to come out to one last week? It was awesome. And Wednesday it's during food pantry, 10 to 12, 2 to 4, and also 7 to 9 in here while we're praying. And Friday was 2 to 4, right? So if you want to come on in and pray, because it's a powerful time, you know, a time of worship and prayer. So I want y'all to be aware of that. I think the schedule's on Facebook, isn't it, on Faith Harvest? Yeah, back there in the prayer room, if you want to pick up a schedule, feel free. But otherwise, it's on Facebook, on the Faith Harvest page. Matthew 9:35. The title over this in my Bible was The Compassion of Jesus. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, what's the multitude? It's lots of people, but predominantly, like, it's talking about lost people. It's talking about people that are wandering around and lost in sin. Because he did a lot of his teaching in the synagogues, but most of his great works were out on the mountain or in the street. And so Jesus was going out to the multitudes, which he was pressed in from every side. He had crowds. He was a rock star. And I don't mean that in a blasphemous way, but people gathered. They could feel God's presence on Jesus. They went to church and stuff, and they just felt religion. They just felt, I'm going to punch my clock. I'm going to punch my clock. But Jesus said, there was life there. He said, you don't teach as one of the teachers in the synagogue. You teach with power. You teach with the presence of God. When he taught, it was the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh brought forth the Word of God. They just read it as rules and regulations. If I just sat up here today and said, don't do this, 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 and as soon as you walked out of here, you did it. Because there's no power not to do it. You can't stop sinning without power. Woo! You got to have wonder-working power. And I am getting so sick of this politically correct language. Well, let's just call things what they are, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's just call things what they are. I made a bad choice. I've even found myself saying this. I made a bad choice. No, you sinned. You went against God's holy law. It has nothing. Yeah, it was a choice. I'll give you that. It was a bad choice. The Lord said, I set before you this day blessings and curses. Life and death. He said, therefore, choose life. It's a choice. It's a choice. When you get addicted to drugs and strung out on drugs, it's a choice. When you decide to get free, it's a choice. And when God comes on you with power, he gives you the power to break that addiction, to break that sin off of your life. And you never have to entertain it again, Sarah. You never have to go back and say, man, I wish I hadn't have done that when I was 15 years old. What was it, Sarah? 15 years old. I'm just messing with her. God will never bring that back up to you again. God will cleanse you and wash you, and he'll put your feet on the rock. And you don't have to be that anymore. You are not that anymore, Amy. You are not that depressed little girl. You are not, I don't know what, y'all, were you into drugs any? It's okay. You are not that anymore. Praise God, you are a child of the Most High God. You are washed in the blood. You're a child of the Father. Anybody in here did illegal drugs beside me? And this is not something to be proud of, or, oh boy, I'm in the club. How many of y'all have been delivered from it in Jesus' name? Delivered! Woo! Would you go back if you could? Would you go back if God said, it's okay, just take a little hit? No. How many of y'all loved alcohol to excess? Raw! Mass quantities. He set me free. Oh, he set me free. Woo! He broke the chains of Satan on me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. I wish we could sing that, but I can't sing. Praise the Lord. I don't even know where we were. Yeah, Matthew. He cast out all the sickness, all the disease. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Because they were like weary and scattered. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Lord, we pray, let's just agree right now. We pray right now for laborers. We pray, God, that we would be laborers in the harvest, God. Jesus, we would go out and we would cut those sheaves of wheat down, God, and we bring them into the barn, God. And Lord, I thank you the kingdom of heaven is filled with souls, God. I pray for Greenville, Indiana, God. It'd be Revival Town, USA. I thank you right now you're going to build a restaurant in that new strip mall, a restaurant that'll feed the hungry that leave this building, God, when revival breaks out in all the churches in this community. God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. He is King, he is Lord, if you need the translation. That's what it was. Wow. Matthew 10:28. Powerful, powerful verse. Do not fear those who kill the body. Do not fear people that can kill your body but cannot kill your soul. Don't fear the terrorist. Don't fear all the things people are fearing right now in Jesus' name. Don't fear bombs being set off where you're at. Don't fear that stuff. You're immune because you're going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever, though, aren't they? Everybody's going to live somewhere for eternity, either in the presence of God or in hell, away from God and in torment. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him. Who's that? Him. Capital H. Fear Jesus. Fear the Father God Almighty, who is able to destroy the soul and body in hell. And I don't want to get off on the negative, okay? But evidently Jesus was negative a lot because he talked about hell 10 times more than he talked about heaven. He warned of it. He wept of the thought because he knew what it was. He knew it was a real place when he told the story of Lazarus and the rich man. How many of y'all have ever read that? It's powerful, powerful, powerful. He said there was a certain rich man. And it said he fared sumptuously, which meant he lived in excess. Which, there's nothing wrong. God doesn't mind us being prosperous. Not at all. But it said there was a poor guy that sat down by the road, right by his mailbox. Well, he didn't probably have a mailbox, but he was down by the road, and it said he was so hungry. He was so hungry, he was willing to eat the crumbs, the garbage off the rich man's table. And he said he had sores all over his body because he was sick. I don't know what kind of disease he had, but there were sores all over his body. And it said the dogs came and licked the sores. Now that sounds gross, don't it? And this rich man every day probably passed by this man out by the end of his driveway and never even threw him a scrap of bread. And it said one day Lazarus died and he was ushered into the bosom of Abraham, which was the place of help me, Jesus. Paradise. It was before actually, well, I could explain all this. There's going to be a third heaven. There's going to be, a place of paradise. So he woke up and he was in Abraham's bosom. And Abraham was like the prophet, the father of Israel, right? And so here he is, this diseased man who never had food or anything. And he was not there because he was poor. You don't go to heaven because you're poor. You go to heaven because you're faithful to God. And you're washed in the blood. But it said the rich man also died and awoke in the torment of hell. And he said there was flames all around him and torments all around him. And he cried out and he said he wished for just one drop of water. And he said, let me out for just a few minutes. Send somebody to my brothers. Send somebody to my family and warn them about this place. And he said, they've got the prophets. They've got the word of God to warn them. And he said, besides, you can't cross from here over to there, because there's a great chasm. There's no way you can go from this heaven place or from this hell place to this heaven place. Once you are there, you are locked. It's forever. There's no getting out. There's no second chances. And growing up in America, you always get a second chance. Growing up in America, a judge will cut you, he'll cut you a deal a few times, right? He'll say, okay, I'm going to let you go. I'm gonna let you go out of this deal. But if you continue to appear before this judge, eventually he's going to say, I've seen you in my courtroom many times. Go and serve your full term. Don't you praise God we didn't have to do that? Don't you praise God? How many of y'all think you'd probably be dead right now if it hadn't been for Jesus intervening? And I've got a good idea that I'd be dead or stupid or just completely wiped out. But God, for a praying mama, for a praying grandma, for a praying church, God redeemed me from the powers of death and hell. And a lot of y'all, I'm not no better than anybody here. I was just a scuzz just like a lot of you were. But God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son so that if Mark would just cry out and believe and follow and trust in Jesus, I could have eternal life. I won't have to worry about being with the rich man in hell. Remember, when Jesus told, it wasn't a parable. People say it's a parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It was a parable, is a story that with an earthly story with a heavenly meaning is what a parable means. He did not say it was a parable. He said there was a certain rich man. So I want you to know that there is still a certain rich man burning in torment in hell. And that's been 2,000 years ago when he told that story. And people say, well, you shouldn't try to scare people into heaven. Jenny, if your kids were running out in the street out there when they were little toddlers, would it be unkind to holler and scream at them and tell them to get out of the street? Well, no. It's you warn of judgment to come. What keeps you in the kingdom is the Spirit of God. You love Jesus. He said, if you, Jesus, how many of you would say, I love you, Jesus? I love you, Jesus. Really, I love you, Jesus. That's such a loose thing anymore. You can walk into a street, you can walk in a bar and go, I love you, man. Really, I love you. Well, you wouldn't know this person. You wouldn't give a rip about them after you walked out the door. You drink a couple of beers and forget who they were, right? Jesus loves you. Jesus knew you before the foundation of the world. Jesus has a plan for your life, and it's a good one. It's to rescue you from the wrath to come. But it's also to give you joy and peace and comfort. I don't need alcohol and drugs anymore for comfort and peace. Praise the Lord. I don't need pornography anymore to set me off. I don't need that anymore because God has freed me from that. Amen. Listen! And I'm not speaking to you as a bunch of heathens. They say 40, 50% of pastors are addicted to pornography. That's sick, but that's the prince of the power of the air has such control over us. And God can set us free of all that. No matter what your past is, and you know what? You'll say, well, I'm just going to blow it. Well, you probably will. But you know what? He said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus, and his blood will wash you from all sin. So this isn't a condemning message at all. Matthew 10:6. I'd say I'm about done. But I'm not. Because lying's not good. I'm going to... Jesus sent out the 12 to preach the gospel. You believe that? He sent them out two by two. He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10:6. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did John the Baptist say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And repent, repentance, people look at that like that's a bad word. No, it's like, Zoe's going this way, and all of a sudden she sees the danger ahead. She sees she's going the wrong way, and she makes a U-turn. And you can do that in Indiana legally some places, can't you? But you make a U-turn, and you were going this way, and you make a 180, and you're going this way now. You know, becoming a Christian, we grow in the Lord, right? But we don't, it's not like osmosis. We don't just like, well, 20 years ago I was lost, but through the years I've attained salvation by doing good deeds and praying certain prayers. No, salvation happens immediately. I'm not saying you don't get sanctified. You do. You better get sanctified, but salvation comes instantly. It's just how many of y'all have had babies? Oh, just women, please. It takes a long time to push that thing. I've been in many of y'all's labor rooms, okay? It takes a lot of pain. It's a lot of pain. And Bible says in the last days, it said the signs of his coming are going to be like birth pains. And what's birth pains like? I know now they've got these things they strap on them, and it's like... I know you've heard them, Danny, lots of times. It's like, and you'll see this, bing, you'll see this spike. And when you see this spike, they go, ooh, you know. It's like, oh, I see that. And they said, no, I felt that, right? But you see that contraction, and it's like it might go for a long time. And then, bloop, And you hear the baby in there. What's that noise where they're going, blah, 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 blah. That's a heartbeat, right? Blah, 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 blah. It's weird sounding. You ought to check it out. But these things start getting a little bit closer together. And the thing is they get more intense. Closer together, more intense. Closer together, more intense. As we're waiting for Jesus to return, it's going to get more intense, the birth pains. You're going to see signs in nature, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars. You're going to see them all get closer together and more intense. In my short lifetime, I have seen that. I thought Jesus was coming back tomorrow when I first got saved. Because the signs, I said, the signs are all there. Everything's going. And I'm like, now I'm like, wow. They weren't even close to what they are now. Okay, this is for believers and those that are deciding whether they want to follow Jesus or not. Jesus said something. This is in 10:16, I think. Yeah. Jesus said, count the cost. Count the cost of following Jesus before you decide to follow him. Because he said, it'd be like a man. Now, this is a parable. It'd be like a man that started building a house. And he didn't count the cost. And he got out there and he got the framework up and he got the plywood on the roof and the floor and he ran out of money. He didn't have no money to put a roof on. He didn't have no money to put the sides on. And it sat out there in the rain and the wind and the weather and it rotted. And it said, won't everybody look at this and go, what a fool. He didn't have enough to finish before he started. I want you to know you have enough. When Jesus comes in you, you have enough to finish. But it's not like a flippant, yeah, I'll try Jesus. If it don't work, I'll go back to what I... No, you don't try Jesus. You become Jesus. He comes into your life. He changes everything. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men. They will deliver you up to councils to scourge you, that means to whip you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you will speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. Verse 21, brother will deliver up brother to death and father to child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in the city, flee to another. For surely I say, and anyway. Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. And so what he's saying is, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they say bad things about you, they're going to say bad things. If they say bad things about me, they're going to say bad things about you. It says your enemies will be your brother, your sister, your father, your mother. You know, when you come in a house and you're changed and you're washed in the blood and you're walking with Jesus, not everybody's going to be entertained. Not everybody's going to be happy. A lot of people like Mark a lot better when he was funny and drunk. Seriously. They didn't like him when he walked into the office to go out to work in the morning with a Bible in his hand. And I wasn't a holier than thou. I was not. I was just who I was. And the good thing is, brother, is you'll have the same personality. You'll have the same giftings as you did when you were a heathen. But they'll be cleansed and made pure. Because those are giftings, man. Being funny is a gifting. It is. So, I didn't mean to... Everybody stand up.